Sure, it's a blessing to have the privilege to stand before you again and study another portion of God's Word. I appreciate all the prayers on my behalf, and it's my prayer that something said here tonight will be useful and beneficial to you throughout the rest of your Christian lives as we continue our walk. As you know, we're going to be continuing our Life of David series, and this will be the second part of it. The whole reason we're doing this series is over in Acts, it tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. So what we're doing is we're looking at his characteristics, and we're looking at the things that David did, whether good or bad, and learn how to apply that to our lives so we can also be after God's own heart as well. If we look over in Acts, Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." So this is why we are studying the life of David and how we can learn from him and apply his characteristics to ours so we can have the same characteristics. We can also be after God's own heart as well. If you'll remember last time we talked, we first introduced David. We talked a little bit about his lineage, that he's the son of Jesse. We first came into where he met Saul, and he lived with him for a while. Shortly after that, he slayed Goliath. After he slayed Goliath, he meets Jonathan, which is a dear friend of his. And then he becomes captain over some of the men of war. And then he has the first attempt of killing by Saul. Saul tried to kill him for his jealousy that Saul had. And then he goes on to marry Saul's daughter, Michal. And then right after that, this is where we'll begin our second time, the second attempt of killing by Saul. If there is anybody who would like the notes on this that I have studied, just give with me after the services and I can email those to you. So the first thing we're going to look at, this is right after he marries Michal. Michal helped him to escape from Saul when he tried to kill him. What David does is he goes to Nob, which is known as the city of priests. We'll begin our reading in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and we'll begin in verse 8. 1 Samuel 21 and verse 8 says, "And David said to Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because thou king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is none other save that here. David said, There is none like that, give it me." So David goes here to Nob, and he talks to Ahimelech, and he retrieves the sword of Goliath. Now after this, Saul finds out that David is in Nob, and he is at the city that's known as the city of priests, which is the city of Levites. So David hears that Saul is coming after him, so David escapes, and he goes to a cave called Adullam. When he goes to a cave called Adullam, this is where his brothers meet up with him. If we go to the next chapter and read verse 1 and 2, it says, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. He became captain over them, and there was with him about 400 men." Just from this little passage right here, we can see David's natural leadership, this God-given talent that David had to just instantly become leaders over all those who were distressed or in debt or any way afflicted. They went to David, and he just naturally became the leader over them because God has given him this talent to be a natural leader. And God has given some of us the talents to be natural leader or any other talents. And what David did with his talents, he used it. He used it to help God's people and to be captain over them and to lead them. And likewise, we need to use our talents as well. What is talents that God has given you? And have you used those talents, such as David did? Now, the men were with him were about 400, but we don't know how many women and children there, but we can assume it was quite a few. Now, after David had left Nob, which was the city of priests, Saul arrived there, and he talks to Ahimelech, and he finds out that Ahimelech helped David. And this is what most people consider Saul's worst act of his lifetime, is what we're about to read. It's come from 1 Samuel chapter 22, and in verse 16 through 19. Beginning in verse 16, it says, "And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. The king said unto the footmen that stood about him, "Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me." But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. Now Saul, he is king of the land. Basically what he says goes. And his servants would not do what he said, because he told them to slay the priest. And this is the city of priests. There's a lot of priests there. He tells all those men to slay the priest, but they didn't do it. We continue in verse 18. It says, "And the king said to Doeg, 'Turn and fall upon the priest.' And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword." Now it says that Doeg slew 85 persons that wore a linen ephod. The only people that were allowed to wear the linen ephod were the priests themselves, the men of the Levites who were priests. And it's 85 persons, that's 85. Doeg killed 85 priests. And he also killed the women, the children, the infants, and all their animals. And this is what's considered to be the worst act of Saul. He is continually getting worse as he is seeking after David. And he's trying to kill him. He's just getting worse and worse, being swallowed up with his pride and with his jealousy. In the meantime, David, he takes his people, and he is continually following the Lord. He's being lifted up. If we look over in the next chapter, in 1 Samuel chapter 23, we see where David and his men, they go to the city which is known as Keilah. 1 Samuel 23, in the first 4 verses, says, "Then they told David, saying, 'Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors.'" That means they're robbing the corn of the Philistine, or of the people in Keilah. "Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite the Philistines?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah.' And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' And David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand.'" The first thing that David does when a problem arises is he inquires counsel from the Lord. And likewise, that's what we should do. The first time a problem creeps up into our life, something's going on, we don't know what to do. Very first thing, we should have the same reaction that David does, is go to the Lord. Find out what he wants you to do. That's what David did. And even the people around him, we'll read later, and it says that there were 600 men now. They were telling him they were afraid in Judah against their own king. Why would they want to go and fight the Philistines, who are their enemies? So David inquires of the Lord again, and the Lord says, "Go, and I will deliver the Philistines." Well, what David did was he trusted the Lord, like we all should. The Lord said he was going to deliver the Philistines into David's hand, and David believed him. We get this from Psalms chapter 18 and verse 2. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." David knew that if the Lord promised him something, he was going to fulfill it. And the same goes for us. If the Lord promises us something, he will fulfill it. Just trust him and believe in him. And if he tells you to do something, do it. And that's exactly what David did. If we continue in 1 Samuel 23 and go down to verse 10, it says, "Then David said, 'O Lord, God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord, God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant.' And the Lord said, 'He will come down.' Then said David, 'Will the men of Keilah deliver me up and my men into the hand of Saul?' And the Lord said, 'They will deliver thee up.' Then David and his men, which were about 600, rose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. So after David goes to Keilah and he saves them from the Philistines, he stops the Philistines from stealing their corn on the threshing floors. David goes and he does this great thing for them. You would think that these people at Keilah would be thankful for him. Well, David hears that Saul is now coming to Keilah to get him. So Saul asks the Lord, "Are these people of Keilah who I just helped, are they going to deliver me into Saul's hand and he's going to kill me?" The Lord says, yep, they're going to do it. But even as these people were going to be evil towards David, as he had just helped them, David still kept a positive attitude. Same thing happens to us. We can go out, we can be nice to people, we can help them, we can help them with their problems, deliver them out of a circumstance or whatever their case is, and then they may turn around and be evil to us in some way. They may talk behind our backs or do something like that. But just as David, he kept that positive attitude of always continually doing what the Lord wills no matter what, that's the same kind of attitude we need to have. Continually to do the things that God has told us. Sometimes it's going to happen where people are mean to us even after we're nice to them, but we need to continue doing what the Lord wills. Now after this, after David and his men left Keilah, they went to a place known as En-Gedi. David hid in the woods of Ziph for a little while, and that's when his friend David made and uplifted him. If we continue in 1 Samuel 23, we'll read verse 16 through 18. It says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and thou shalt be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house." Now we can go on and we can talk about how good of a friend Jonathan was, and if you have time, I urge you to study about that, but for the sake of this study, we're going to stick with David. Sometimes we need that friendship to come strengthen us up if we're a little bit down, and David accepted that and just kept on marching forward, and that's the same thing we need to do. After David left the woods of Ziph, he went to go to Maon, and then he went on to En-Gedi in fear of Saul. This whole time, Saul is chasing him in order to kill him. And then we come to, in my opinion, a very interesting story, which comes from 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24, we read verses 3 through 4. This is talking about Saul here. It says, "And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. And David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily." So what had happened was, as Saul and his men, which if you read a little bit before this, it's 3,000 men that Saul has with him, chasing 600 men with David. And they were hiding, or they weren't hiding, they were resting in a cave. And David goes into the cave, and he creeps up on Saul, and he cuts part of his skirt off. Now, in my opinion, David could have easily just changed his sword direction a little bit, and it could have easily been Saul's head. I mean, he could have killed him very easily, and Saul would have never known what hit him. But we can look at David's reaction right after he did this, and he cut off Saul's skirt. We can look at David's reaction to this. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. Stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. Now all the men around David were telling him, This is the day that the Lord had told you. He's going to deliver Saul, he's going to deliver your enemy up to into your hand. You can kill him. And David did not kill him because he is the Lord's anointed, because he is king. Anybody that is king or that is appointed as officials are appointed by the Lord. They're there because the Lord wants them to. And David knew this, so he did not kill the Lord's anointed. Now, we don't have a king. We have government officials. We may not agree with the government officials all the time. But likewise, as David respected Saul for his kingship and as being anointed of the Lord, we must also respect our government officials for their position. We don't have to agree with them all the time. But we do have to remember that they are there because the Lord wants them to. And they may not do everything that the Lord wants them to do, just as Saul did. Saul did very rarely the things that the Lord wanted him to do, but he was still anointed by the Lord. We need to remember that when we think about our government officials as well. Shortly after this, if we go down to verse 14, we have David talking to Saul here, and we can see that David's humility. If we look down at verse 14, It says, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be the judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. David is just laying it out for Saul. He's like, what are you wasting so much time, so much energy, so much of your men on, that you're chasing me? I'm nothing. I'm just a servant that was the son of Jesse. I used to raise sheep, have no control over anything. Why are you wasting so much time on me? I mean, we can instantly see David's humility with this. There's also another story in 1 Samuel chapter 26. It's another story where David had a chance to kill Saul, and he chose not to do so. If you have time, I'd encourage you to go read that story too. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 26. Shortly after this, if we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 25, we're not going to read this chapter, but we have a story with David and a man named Nabal. Now, Nabal is a rich man, but he's also an evil man. He is not a man that is very nice by any means. Well, David, he sent messengers to Nabal because he knew he was rich. He sent messengers to him to receive offerings for him. He told his messengers, go to Nabal and receive offerings for me, and he'll give them to you. Well, Nabal didn't do that. The messengers had told Nabal that we come from David, who is the son of Jesse, a servant of the Lord. And all Nabal says is, there are many sons and there are many servants. I don't know this David, and I'm not going to give you anything. Well, when this happens, the messengers go back and tell David what happened. He didn't like this too much. David becomes very angry, and he decides, well, if they're not going to give us any offerings, I'm just going to go kill him, and I'll take the offerings for myself. So that was what he was on his way to do. He went to go do so, and there was a messenger came out that had heard what happened, and he went and he told a lady by the name of Abigail. This lady named Abigail is Nabal's wife. Well, when word reaches Nabal's wife, she almost panics. She decides that she'll get up all these offerings and she'll just do it herself. She'll get up everything and she'll go meet David on his way and she'll stop him from killing Nabal and she'll save her husband's life. Now, some of these offerings are listed in 1 Samuel 25, verse 18. 1 Samuel 25 and 18 says, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. This is some of the gifts that Abigail had prepared and go to talk to David and to stop him from going to kill her husband. And when she goes to do this, basically what she tells David is, why are you going to kill Nabal? Because he didn't give you any offerings? You're going to go have vengeance on a man. And she told him that the Lord God is with you. The Lord God is with David. Let the Lord have the vengeance on him. So basically, she stopped David from going to kill Nabal with sound advice. And what David did is he put his pride aside and he listened to this sound advice. If we go down to verse 32, it says, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. So David listened to this sound advice, and he had no idea who Abigail was. He had never met Abigail before. He went. She told him something that was sound, that was smart. David listened to it, put his pride aside, and he did what the Lord wanted. Shortly after this, the Lord does take care of Nabal. Nabal dies. Then after that, David makes Abigail his wife. So basically, David got what he wanted plus some just for doing what the Lord wanted him to do. Now, the next thing we're going to look at is David is continually running from Saul. He's continually running from him. Saul is always trying to kill him. He always has this jealous rage with him. So what David does is he goes to a place known as Gath. Now, Gath is outside the Israelite country, and it is going into the Philistine country. Now, when you go into the Philistine country, this is basically when Saul wakes up and says, I'm not chasing him anymore. There's a lot of big guys over in Philistine, and I'm not going over there. So he gets Saul to stop chasing him, but now David is living in the land of the Philistines. So if we look over 1 Samuel chapter 27, we read verse 5 and 6. It says, "Then David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thy sight, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day." So what Achish was a Philistine. He lived in the land of the Philistines. And David went and asked him, "Give me a place that I can live. I won't bother y'all. I'll keep my quiet. Just give me a place where I can live over here so I can be away from Saul." So they gave him the place of Ziklag. Well, David and his 600 men live in Ziklag for 1 year and 4 months. During this 1 year and 4 months, he does some work. He destroys the Jeshurites, the Gezerites, and the Amalekites. Then after that, David wanted to side with the Philistines. He wanted to go with the Philistines, and they were going to go to battle against Israelites again. And David was going to fight with the Philistines and kill the Israelites. Well, the Philistines refused the help of David. And during this time, while David was talking with the Philistines and trying to get them to side, let him side with them, the Amalekites go to the town of Ziklag, which is his home, and they basically rob them. They take everything. If you look over at 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we'll read verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire." If we go down to verse 5, it says, "And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." So while he was pleading with the Philistines to side with them, the Amalekites went and they took everything. They took his wives, they took the children, the sons, the daughters, they took all their animals, everything. And the people were mad at David. They had to blame somebody, so they were going to blame David. It was all his fault. They were going to stone him. But David kept his head up. He decided to stay encouraged because he knew the Lord was on his side. And what he did was he asked the Lord what he should do. Well, the Lord told him, "Go to the Amalekites and take back everything they took from you, and you'll get everything back." That's exactly what David did. If we look over in verse 18, it says, "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken of them. David recovered all." Even when David wasn't living in the land of the so-called chosen people, the Israelites, he was living in the land of the Philistines. It was could have been considered a Philistine at this time. The Lord was still with him. And the Lord was still with him because he continually did what the Lord wanted him to do. The Lord told him to go get back everything the Amalekites told you. So he did, and the Lord helped him do that. Now, a lot of these things that David did, from the things we studied in the first lesson and the things we have studied tonight, were, you know, he killed Goliath. He was just a young man, and he killed Goliath with a sling and a stone. He's defeated multitudes of people, including the giant Philistines with just a few hundred men. He keeps escaping Saul. A lot of people might look at these things and say they're impossible. There's no way that a man and just a few people could do this. These things are impossible. That just reminds me of what Jesus said over in Luke chapter 18, in verse 27. It says, "And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." And this is how David was able to do these things, because God was with him the whole time. The reason God was with him is because he continually did what the Lord wanted. He was continually devoted to God. He always counseled with the Lord. Anytime the Lord told him to do something, he never hesitated. He just did it. And the Lord always delivered him. So during this second part of the series, we've looked at David's positive attitude during times of trouble. We've looked at his obedience to God when he was being pressured from peers to kill Saul in the cave. We've looked at his adherence to sound advice from Abigail, who he had never met before. And we looked at his strict devotion to God, even when he wasn't in the land of the chosen people of Israel. We can remember these things as we go on and try to apply these things to our lives. And the main thing comes down to being completely devoted to God, just as David was. As we continue on with our study at later times, we'll continue looking at more of David's characteristics and more things, the good things and the bad things that he has done that we can learn from. If there's anybody here tonight who feel like you haven't been applying some of these characteristics to your lives and would like help doing so, we can help you with that. We can help you with that by praying with you to God that he can help add these characteristics to your life, that you may live a better life with Christ. Or if there's any who haven't first started that walk with Christ and haven't first started being fully devoted to Christ in baptism, we can help you with that too. If there be one of you in class, we ask you to come forward and have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing.